So we're here at the Warren, and I'm joined by...
Ex-Anthony and the Penny Slots.
And I like this. Ex-Anthony, is that your real name?
Yes.
Okay, I'm not going to probe further. Ex-Anthony and the Penny Slots. The show's called Do's, which I've never heard of a title like that before. There's an image of you on the front here.
Yeah,
tell us about the show.
Well, Do's, it's sort of a play on Do's as in Do's Point. The show's about the Eurovision. Basically, in 2015, Penny Slots and I, we asked Ireland to put us forward in the Eurovision at Dublin Tiger Fringe, except we didn't get there. So now we're here in the UK asking you to put us forward for the Eurovision in 2017 or 18 or 19. And basically it's presenting 9 songs, any of which could go forward in the Eurovision. And it's also social commentary on popular culture, and it's super, super fun.
But didn't winning Eurovision and then hosting it almost bankrupt the country?
Yeah, and made the country. It was part of the sort of like birth of Ireland and the mass marketing of like Irish culture across the globe, and also kind of it's sort of synonymous with the kind of tacky culture as well, tacky Irishness. You know, that we're so good at branding and selling. Yeah,
do you think that's changed in the last few years?
I think that for the Eurovision, we're sort of living in that 90s zone still. Like, we're not really advancing like the way Russia, Sweden, everyone's like moving with the music. We're kind of still thinking it's like sort of like that Celtic vibe, and it's not really working.
But also, I mean, the real hit at the Eurovision was Riverdance 1 year. And then, I mean, I still remember it. I can't remember, I can't pronounce it right.
Michael Flatley?
No, the pianist guy. And they did this thing called Lumen, and it was Irish choirs and all that. Anyway,
stunning.
Yeah. So the intervals were more stunning than the songs.
Yeah. But that's, we play off that as well in the show. There is an interval that is sort of like a show stealer, and it's not even me, you know. And, the Irish dance, the Riverdance, like, it's 30 years, you know, this year. Like, it's crazy. It's, like, been going, you know. Yeah.
So it must be real fun to make a show like this.
Yes and no. Like, I mean, trying to be funny is really hard.
Yeah.
And also the show, the Eurovision is such a wide... Because, you know, we're performance makers. We did our MA in Goldsmiths, performance making. And, like, we're academics in a sense as well. Like, we did lots of research in terms of the Eurovision. And that is a huge, huge amount of stuff. And it gets intense. But actually, now that the show's made, it's really, really enjoyable. It's a really, really fun show. Very, very interactive. It's really good. It's fun.
So using that kind of academic view, so you research something, but how do you actually make the selection of, right, there's some good raw material for comedy and we'll take that into the you know, the rehearsal process?
Super hard. It's just, I mean, like, I think it was, like, such a change of... It's hard to say, you know. We would start maybe writing some songs, and then we'd have loads of musicians working with us from all across the world making songs together, and we wouldn't know what would work until we test it out. So we do a little mini test with a few people, like 30 people, 20 people, and then we'd do some ad-libbing, some improv, and then we'd see what would work, and then we try and then consolidate it into a script. Because with work like this, it's easy for us to go crazy and like do a crazy, crazy, like crazy show, but what we needed to do was consolidate it into a really tight structure. So in the show, it's always like song, script, jokes, you know, etc.
And I guess there's a danger that the people that you invite could collude with you. So who were the people that actually gave you the bad news and sort of challenged you and helped you throw stuff out?
My friends, my sister. Like, my twin sister directly said I was meant to go to Ireland before the show was premiering. And she said, Anthony, buy another flight. You need to stay here another 2 weeks. You know, I was meant to go early and promote the show. And she was like, you know, you need to fix the show. It's not working. Because it was just all over the place. And then... You know, that kind of honesty is really, really important. So I'm all about people feeding back, so it's not self-indulgent, you know, because we're not necessarily actors. We're kind of like coming from loads of backgrounds, you know, so we need someone to like direct us, you know.
And so when you heard that, did that wake you up, or you kind of knew that anyway?
Kind of knew it anyway. But I am. But, you know, it was like a sort of force to sort of like really needing to do something about it. So it was really helpful.
So take us into that rehearsal room and sort of describe what that looked like.
It was kind of like Jesus crucifixion. Like, it was really hard.
You heard it here.
Yeah, Jesus' crucifixion. Only an Irish Catholic boy would say that. I know all about that kind of guilt. But it was super hard, you know, because we were doing loads of stuff, like mixing loads of stuff together that we hadn't really done before, per se. You know, we got, there's roller skating, there's like all sorts of topics that are like colliding, and there's this meta stuff going on where like the show builds online, and it's all about this, my ex-Anthony's ambition to be a pop star, and these backing singers, and are they real people? And like, it was just so many layers that actually for a while it just didn't make any conceptual sense, and it was just super, super hard. But then I think then you kind of mentally have to jump through it and just power on and actually commit to it. The commitment is really important, so you know that this is completely wild, and if you commit to it, people actually believe you, and then it becomes real, and then it works.
Well,
you can't have fear.
No, we won't go too deep, but we're talking fear, we're talking Catholicism, guilt, crucifixions and stuff. And I'm just looking on the flyer and I'm seeing words like, you know, this show is stunning from one reviewer and the Irish Times saying genuinely hilarious. And I like the word genuine. I mean, some views, I'm addressing the academic in you here too, is that, you know, suffering, forget the religious bit, does give birth to self-awareness, you know, and excellence. That's what the suffering of the artist is. Mm. So it sounds like you needed to suffer for this bit to work.
Completely. And like, and you know, it set us up really well for the next work that we want to make. So, I mean, this was like a birth of a baptism of fire, as you'd say, you know. And it's not like we hadn't made work before. We had, but we hadn't done it in... This is a show that touches on entertainment and touches on popular culture and touches on, like, pain, you know, like that sad person who's continuously asking people to put them forward for the Eurovision or for anything, the X Factor, you know, like, it's like Kerry Katona, you know, like, again, new brand, new thing they're trying to sell. And the next show we're trying to do is called The Power of Wow, and that's ex-Anthony rebranding as a celebrity chef because he just hasn't got the Eurovision sorted yet. And that's happened, you know, in Ireland. People have done that. They've done the Eurovision and then become something else, you know, and it's... Yeah, people do that. It's real. Like, I get... It's actually true.
Now, you're taking this at the moment here, which is, you know, the Friendly Fringe, but have you got plans to take this show to the deep heart of the East European Eurovision voting cartel countries?
We actually, we're going to Czech Republic in June, but they've never won the Eurovision either, so they'll really understand us. But no, we're doing a lot of shows in England, and we're going to Prague and hopefully some other places in Scandinavia, we hope, and it's going, you know, it's funny because each place is different, and the show, we pivot the show to change in each place. We just did it in rural Ireland yesterday or 2 days ago in, like, you know, no, like, the only place in Ireland that voted no in the marriage referendum in 2015, we went there and did it, and people loved it, you know. And it's going, we're trying, we're pushing
and,
on.
And for you as a young performer, how has this process changed you from beginning to now?
I feel like when I was 23, I was not as sure. I think you have to really battle fear, and I think one of the reasons this is working for us is because I said to myself, like, no, don't fear it. Like, you know, get out there, try it, do it. And I feel like it's a kind of a form of mindfulness in a way, because you're trying to, like, battle fears of failure, you know. Yeah, so it's been really, really good. And also, I feel less, like, I wanted to do well, but I'm less stressed about it. Like, I'm like, it's just going, you know, we'll just let it flow in its own way, you know, work as hard as we can and let's see what happens.
Final question, ex-Anthony.
Ex-Anthony.
So, no PR here. We got the word genuine in one of your reviews. So, can I have a genuine invitation to the audience to come and see Dues?
Hello, everybody. You should come to see Dues. It's full of vim and vivacity.
No, come on, no PR. Come
on. Well, okay, let's be genuine about it. It's a really great show. People really love it. It relates to so many people, different audiences, young and old, gay, straight, business, non-business, teachers, children. It's very, very fun, and you're all very welcome, and you're going to have a great time. You'll have your cheeks stapled to your, like, face. Ears, yeah. It'll be like you'll have had a nice little facelift. It'll be great.
I can take that as a genuine invitation from ex-Anthony, and the show's called Dues, and it's here at the Warren. Thank you very much.
You're
indeed.
Very welcome. Thank you.